Okay, now that we have endured a lot of formalisms, let's have a look at what they give us to work with. So, first of all, we maybe have lost a little bit of track of what we actually wanted to achieve with that. So, what we wanted to have from strongly acyclic attribute dependencies was a criterion for sorting grammars with respect to whether they can be can have a static evaluation strategy or not. And what we identified as the crucial part was whether there is a cycle in there or not. And now with this strongly acyclic attribute dependencies, we have at least an over approximation of what we what our criterion is, in the sense that if all the terms of that form, meaning the local dependencies of each production together with each over approximation of global dependencies for the components or for the children are turning out to be acyclic for all the productions of a grammar, then we can say G is definitely strongly acyclic. Yeah. If we happen to find a cycle in there, that means that this is not strongly acyclic. With that, we don't have a definite answer whether this grammar is now cyclic or not. But we hope to rule out a lot of the, or be able to certify for a lot of grammars that they are acyclic with such a thing. Yeah. So let's have a look at an example to get a feeling of what these computations actually look like. So for that, we are going for computing the least solution, R star of x, of this characterization Rx by a fixed point computation starting with initial values of no dependencies at all for each of these symbols, and then step by step work our way up. Yeah. So for an example, we take the grammar from here, which is a very, very easy one, a deterministic one, even more. It's one that starts with S goes to L, and L is either A or B. So it's a very, very simple example. The dependency graphs in this one, I spare you from establishing them yourself, just get them given. So the dependency graphs here look like this one for L producing A, this one for L producing B, and then the one for S producing L. So each of them by their own are, in their sense, acyclic, and they establish a few dependencies between attributes H, I, J, and K. So let's start with the whole thing. And I mean, it doesn't matter which we start here. We just take the non-terminal L for a start. Yeah. So for L, we want to know how the global dependency over approximation looks like. And for that purpose, what we do is we establish the influence that the production L goes to A and L goes to B have on the global dependencies of L. So all the variants here we exploit for their influence that they have, and we put them into this abstract effect that this production has on the right-hand side, things being like the symbols of the right-hand side. And well, for the terminals, we don't have any dependencies stored. It's just the non-terminals. So here there's no slots for that because we don't do that for non-terminals. So in these we have then the next step, adding the local dependency graphs for L goes to A and L goes to B, and perform transitive closures of each of them, which doesn't do anything at all. Instead, this is just, well, the original local dependency graphs, like this and this, that come out of that. While we're at it, we can then check for cycles when we have already established like these local structures with their dependent attributes and their relations between each other. And turns out that there's no cycle in that, so we're good. Then we project out all the children's relations with pi 0 coming to the attribute dependencies like that. And then what we do is we join both of these variants with each other, coming to this particular set of dependencies, and this is what we have as our first iteration on the computation of L, yeah? Or of L's of approximation of global dependencies. With that, now we can make use of that by in the computation of the global dependencies for S's attributes. And for S, we have just one alternative whose abstract effect we are looking at with the over approximation of the global dependencies of L as parameter. Yeah. So what we have is we take this L's over approximation that we have computed in the last step and put it into the local dependencies implied by S goes to L, by redecorating and embedding RL at first child's position. This will lead to this kind of graph. Yeah? And there we now look at this structure here, local dependencies of S goes to L, joined with those two dependencies. And yeah, this is now a good situation to look into what we have right now, since this is again a representation of one of the subtrees that are possible. And we can then check whether there is a cycle in those. And turns out, well, here we're lucky or unlucky, depending on how you interpret that. There you see is a circle in there. A cycle in there. So, yeah, the over approximation contains a cycle, so this means that this will be not strongly acyclic. Yeah, there is a cycle in there. However, to continue the algorithm, in principle, you would then have to apply the root projection, and you see everything disappears. There is no real dependency between H and J for the S level. Yeah, so this is what we get after that, and thus we have no global dependency of S. In principle, we would have to reiterate over everything, but we will see that it turns out to just result in nothing. There is no change whatsoever in this system, because this can be just computed from bottom to top. Good. So with that, we have seen that on our way, by looking at just this local dependencies together with the over approximations of the global dependencies, we come to a cycle, and thus strong acyclicity cannot be certified for this particular attribute system. Well, what does that mean now for practical purposes? Well, with that, you can't really certify that for that attribute system. You can find a static evaluation system. However, what we can compare that to is, since the grammar that is there for this one is a very small one, that's this one, we can now, just for shits and giggles, try out all the possible derivation trees that there are, and there are only two because this is such a limited grammar, and check whether there is actually a cycle in there. This is feasible for just these two variants. So let's do that and compare that to our result. So these two dependency graphs that you see are now concrete dependency graphs for the two derivation trees that can be achieved with the grammar that you see over there. Yeah, and you see if you try to track or keep track of all the dependencies in there that, well, the first one over to this side here, does it have a cycle? No, there is no cycle in there. So this would, in principle, be acyclic. Yeah. So let's have a look at the other one. This one over here. Is there a cycle in this one? No, there's also no cycle in there. So what we see from this is that in reality, we have an example here that that is in reality acyclic. However, our over approximation lost that property and instead was finding in its over approximated idea of what the global dependencies look like, found out that there is actual dependency between or circular dependency in this level 0 to 1 of this derivation tree. Yeah, this actually comes from the fact that we merged the dependencies from this one and this one, meaning that this dependency and this dependency both are found in the over-approximated version, thus completing the puzzle of, well, here was missing an edge in this derivation tree and here was missing an edge in this derivation tree, which made our examples actually acyclic. But in the over approximation, we joined and thus we got both of these gaps bridged by dependencies. And thus, in our case, we can't really certify acyclicity with the strongly acyclicity here, and well, that's what you have to live with. Yeah. So in principle, you have something that is computable quite reasonably. However, it might be too weak for your particular instance of a grammar. Yeah. But that's what you get when you don't invest exponentially much time in an algorithm or in such a difficult problem here. Yeah.